I'm Marco Werman with The World. Finding Nemo and soon Finding Dory. I doubt we'll ever see Finding Arowana. That's what this next story is about. A very sought-after species of tropical fish known as the Asian arowana. It's illegal to own one and expensive, up to $150,000 per fish. Some have even killed for one. So no, not really suitable for a kid's movie. Emily Voigt writes about the Asian arowana in her book, The Dragon Behind the Glass, a true story of power, obsession, and the world's most coveted fish. I asked her if I could actually pick up one of these fish at my local pet store.
Well, they shouldn't. If they have one, it's a problem because the fish is actually banned in the United States. It is an endangered species. It's protected by the U.S. Endangered Species Act. So you can't legally bring it into the United States as a pet. So if you find one, there might be a problem.
Right. Okay. So tell us what it looks like. I know there's several varieties of the arowana, mostly classified by color, right?
Right. So actually, arowanas are a family of fish, and there are seven different species across the tropics of the globe. But the one that's protected in the U.S. is the Asian arowana. That's the most coveted of the species. It is a tropical freshwater fish. And if you're picturing, you know, sometimes people hear pet fish and they picture something like a guppy or a goldfish. Mm. That is way off. It is not a small fish. It is, in fact, it grows about 3 feet long in the wild, so something the size of a snowshoe, basically.
Wow.
And it's a fierce predator. It is also called the dragonfish because of its supposed resemblance to the Chinese dragon. So it has these large, round, coin-like scales, and two whiskers jut from its chin. It kind of undulates as it swims, sort of like those paper dragons in a Chinese New Year parade.
Mm.
And, you know, that's the reason that it's become so coveted. It's believed to bring good luck and prosperity because of this association. And so it's been largely over-harvested from the wild.
So you got a window into the dark world of this fish following a pet detective, and they do exist, not just the realm of Ace Ventura. You followed this pet detective into the South Bronx. What did you see?
Yeah, so I went on a alligator bust in the South Bronx. There was a guy with a pet alligator. Unfortunately, we didn't catch the alligator. It was long gone by the time we got there. But that is when I learned about the fish. I started hearing, you know, we were discussing about the different kinds of animals that come through the city that you wouldn't expect. And Lieutenant Fitzpatrick, the exotic species detective I was with, kept telling me about these fish that were sort of the bane of his existence, the Asian arowana.
And from that point on, you got interested and you went on the Asian arowana trail.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. At first, I was really hoping to turn up some big animal that you wouldn't expect to find in the city, and I wasn't that interested in pet fish. I kind of kept trying to change the conversation. But I went home and I looked up the species to see what I could find, and I was just floored because actually, while the fish is illegal in the United States, it's perfectly legal throughout much of the rest of the world, most of the rest of the world. And it's a legitimate luxury market, a bit like the art market. So especially in Southeast Asia, it's super interesting. That's where the fish is raised on farms that were likened to high security prisons. They have high concrete walls and barbed wire and Rottweilers prowling the perimeters at night. And the reason for this is that there's been this spate of fish robberies going back about the past decade or so, where thieves will come and take the fish in the night. And I read about, you know, kidnappings and fish-related canings and even murder, I would find.
Even
and
murder.
So I got, yeah, fish-motivated murder. So, yeah, I became super interested in where the fish was coming from and, you know, what had made it become this valuable commodity.
Has the trade and collection of the Asian arowana in Asia made it more endangered, more under threat?
Absolutely, it has. You know, when I first began researching the fish, I thought what I would find is that it had a deep history in Chinese culture or in various Asian cultures as kind of a mythological animal. But that wasn't the case. Only a few decades ago, this was like an ordinary food fish. It was something that people in the swamp were eating as an important source of protein. It's interesting. You know, in the 1970s, the fish was being over-harvested for the food trade. And almost as a fluke, it got on the very first list of protected species put together by this treaty administered by the United Nations. It's called CITES. Today, it's one of the largest conservation agreements in the world. And so suddenly, the species was banned from international trade in the mid-1970s. And shortly thereafter, its price spiked. It became this coveted commodity. And there was a mad rush for the fish, and it was largely extirpated from the wild.
You learned also that celebrities across Asia love these things, wealthy people. Chow Yun-fat had one, and you learned that at an Asian arowana gallery. Where was that?
That's right. So in Singapore, which is the seat of the ornamental fish trade, you know, I happened to land there at a very great time. Aquarama was happening. And Aquarama is kind of like the Westminster Dog Show of pet fish.
Wow.
It is an international fish competition.
I didn't even know there such a thing existed.
Yeah. So, you know, pet fish show up from all over the world in their little plastic baggies to compete for prizes. And they're judged on, you know, color and body shape and deportment. You know, you want a fish with a certain kind of personality. And in the case of the arowana, you want it to be a bit aggressive and spunky. You don't want kind of a passive fish. And so that is where I started to kind of connect with high-end fish collectors. And, you know, some of the arowana generally sell for about, I don't know, think a few thousand dollars when they're small. But the prices go up from there. It's a lot like the art market. So the highest prices are, you know, $150,000. People
Wow.
say even higher sometimes. And I was determined to find out if there was, you know, truth to these rumors. And so I ended up traveling to Taiwan, where I met with a man who had made a fortune manufacturing toothbrush bristles, of all things. And he had spent $150,000 on his albino arowana.
$100,000 is one personable little fish, I gotta say.
Right, right. And it can go belly up.
Yeah. Did you feel the passion that some of these collectors, especially in Asia, felt about the Asian arowana?
You know, it was a bit mysterious for me, I have to admit. First of all, I'm not really a fish person, or I wasn't in my previous life. And it's also a very male-dominated hobby. So most of the collectors are men, and
Why do you think that
especially
is?
Of the arowana. Well, you know, it's true of the aquarium trade in general, and that is a very good question. There's a lot of theories about that. You know, maybe women like fuzzy animals and this and that. I don't know if any of that's true. But in Asia, at least, it's really treated almost like a status symbol fish and something that people often compare to, you know, collecting cars or something like that. It has a sort of masculinity to it, and a sort of the aggressive nature of the fish is valued. So maybe something around that. So I actually didn't start to feel like I wanted to own an arowana, but I did feel like I wanted to see it in the wild, and I became extremely obsessed with that. And I think that is really connected to why people keep fish in the first place. I think that there's really a desire to own a little piece of the wild, to experience wilderness, you know, so little of which is left.
Emily Voigt is the author of the just-published The Dragon Behind the Glass. Emily, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's our show today. The World comes to you from the Nan and Bill Harris Studios here at WGBH in Boston. I'm Marco Werman. We're back with you tomorrow.
PRI, Public Radio International.